This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
We're in a series of messages on the development of character. And what we found out is that our character determines the results that we will get in life. Our character determines the results that we will get in life. And so it's vitally important that we as believers develop godly character. And today we want to talk about what may be the most crucial aspect of godly character. And in order to first to get into it, to introduce that, I'd like us to think about this question today. What attribute or characteristic of God do you think is most important to us in our relationship to Him? Well, the first thing that will come to my mind is God is love. Amen? That's what the scripture says. God is love. He loves us. He sent Jesus to die. Why? He loves us. So that's number one. Can't get around that one. The characteristic of God that is most important in our lives is, scripture says it, God is love. But what comes after that? What do you think the next characteristic of God that's really important to us is? I think it's God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. What is faithfulness? A faithful person is a person who can be counted on to fulfill his commitments. And think about this. If we couldn't count on God to do what he said he's going to do, if we couldn't count on God to keep his promises, where would we be? Our whole Christian life is built on the fact that God is not a man that he should lie. If God has said it, we know that he's going to fulfill it. Everything that we believe, everything that we are, is built upon the fact that God is faithful. If God said it, we know that we can count on it. Because here's the deal. Understand this. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 23. Here's a principle that I'm sure you know whether you specifically thought about it or not. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Now catch this. Here's the principle. A promise is only as good as the faithfulness of the one who made it. Isn't that right? A promise is only as good as the faithfulness of the person who made it. If God was not faithful, his promises would not mean a thing. How many of you know somebody who makes promises, but you know better by now than to count on it? Anybody know somebody like that? Everybody does. Amen. What's the problem? No faithfulness. No faithfulness. I can come up in your face, stand before you, cross my heart and hope to die, jump up and down, stand on my head, do everything in the world, swear on a stack of Bibles. But if I am not faithful, it doesn't mean a thing. So faithfulness is the indispensable quality of our relationship with God. If God was not faithful, we could not have any kind of relationship with him. Now understand this. Faithfulness is just as important a characteristic for ourselves as it is for God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, what? That one be found faithful. If you're going to be one that God can entrust with his work, you've got to be found faithful. Why? Because that which is unfaithful cannot be depended on. The faithful person is the person who can be counted on to fulfill his commitments. And if he's not faithful, you can't count on him. A couple of years ago, I had a car. And I'd put a few miles on it and got to the point where when it got cold, you couldn't tell whether the thing was going to start or not. And so you sit there and you're trying to crank it, and it's rrr, rrr, rrr. Guess what? A car that won't start every time does me no good. If I can't count on it, I don't need it. I don't want it. It's not useful to me. Understand this. If you are not faithful, if you cannot be counted on, if God cannot count on you, you are of no use to God and His kingdom. Catch it? If God cannot count on you, if He looks at your life and knows that you are not faithful, you are of no use to Him. Without faithfulness, you are of no use to God and to His kingdom. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. Look at what God says about who He's looking for, what He wants, what He requires in those who serve Him. It says, "Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." God says, "I will raise up a faithful priest." What is that faithfulness? One who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. If God can't count on you to do according to what's in His heart and what's in His mind, why would God put you in a position to influence other people in the kingdom of God if He can't count on you? If you're going to freelance and do your own thing, if you're going to do what you think is right in your mind instead of what God said is right, if you're going to do what's for your convenience and your pleasure instead of that which lifts up God and glorifies Him and contributes to His kingdom, why should He put you in any kind of position where you would have influence on other people in the kingdom of God? Why should He elevate you? He won't do it. He's looking for those who are faithful. In fact, look at this. Go over to the book of Acts, chapter 16, starting with verse 14. Acts 16, 14 and 15. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Let's see, this lady, she was a Jewish lady. She worshiped the Lord. Paul came into her city, started preaching the gospel about Jesus, about how He came and died and rose again for our sins. And she believed. And when she and her household believed, they were baptized. And then she said, "Look, if you have found me what? Faithful. Come and stay at my house." Even as a new believer, she already understood the prerequisite for being of service in the kingdom of God, for being used by God to His service in the kingdom. The prerequisite is you've got to be found faithful. If you're not faithful, God cannot and will not use you. He will pass you by. We need to understand faithfulness. And in order to do that today, we want to look at a man who proved himself faithful under difficult circumstances. Go over to the book of Daniel. Look at verse 8 of chapter 1. Daniel and the other young people were captives. Their native land, Israel, had been overrun. And these young men had been brought and put in the king's palace. And he said, "We're going to use these people. These are the best that the Israelites have. We're going to use them. We're going to train them. We're going to make them like us." And so he said, "We're going to teach them everything that we know. We're going to teach them our language. We're going to teach them our customs. We're going to teach them to look like us, to dress like us, to talk like us, so that they will serve us." Look in verse 8. "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. I think you all know that God gave some laws that the Jewish nation was to follow in terms of what they ate and what they drank. And Daniel looked at the king's table and he said, this table is not kosher. I can't eat this stuff. I don't even want to eat this stuff. But wait a minute, I'm a captive. They're not asking me what I want to eat. They're not giving me a choice about what I want to eat. And Daniel had to make a decision. He had committed himself as a young Jew to the fact that he was going to be obedient to God's law. And yet now he was in a land where God's law was not recognized. What was he going to do about it? Daniel said, I'm going to be faithful to the commitment I made. I made a commitment from the very child that I would for the rest of my life be faithful to obey God's law. And it doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I am going to be faithful. And so it says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Here's the first principle that we need to know. If we're going to be faithful, we've got a purpose in our heart to be faithful. We've got a purpose in our heart to be faithful. You know, there's a difference between having a purpose in your head and having a purpose in your heart. You know, when you have a purpose in your head, what you say is, well, I know I ought to do that. In fact, I agree. That's something that I ought to do. And I think I'll do it. I plan on doing that. Any of you ever plan on doing something? How many of you know that we probably plan on doing about 5 times more than we get around to actually doing? Amen? See, because we made a purpose in our head. That's right. That's what I should do. Yeah, I agree to that. But what happened? We never got it down to our heart. We never got it down to the commitment level. We never said to ourselves, I am committed to doing whatever this thing is. I am committed to it. That means I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it done. That means it's not optional. I've made a commitment. When we purpose in our heart, that means that it is set in stone. This is not something that I'm going to be wishy-washy about. I'm not going to say, well, I think I might, or maybe I will, or sometime or other. This is something I'm committed to. This is what I do. Whenever we make a commitment, we have to purpose in our heart to be faithful to that commitment. Daniel purposed in his heart. We have to make that heart commitment. Oh, yeah, I'll give you a call. Sometime this week, I'll give you a call. What's going on? Don't hold your breath. Or, I'm going to wash the car as soon as I get a chance. What's that? I purposed in my mind. I want to wash the car. I'm going to do it. When is it? When is I'm going to get a chance? When is that? Is that next Tuesday? What? I never purposed in my heart. I never said it in concrete. It never became something to which I was absolutely committed. That's what it means to purpose in your heart. And so these wishy-washy things that we say, I'm going to do, without ever having gotten to the point where we've made an absolute commitment to do it, violates the principle that if I make a commitment, I need to purpose in my heart to carry that commitment out. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5. Here's another part of this principle that we need to understand. In this passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 5, it's talking in the context of making a vow to God about the offerings that you're going to make to God. But this is a general principle. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 5:5. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. What's that saying? It's saying even when you come before the Lord and you want to give an offering to the Lord, it is better not to come up in God's face and say, I vow, I promise, I'm committing myself to give you this offering, God, and then not carry it out. God is saying it will be better for you just not to make the promise in the first place. Just don't make the promise. If you're not going to be committed to it, if you're not going to purpose in your heart that you're going to do that you're going to carry out what you said, that you're going to fulfill that commitment, if that has not become a priority, if that has not become a non-negotiable in your life, then don't even make the vow in the first place. Oh, Lord, I'm going to tithe. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tithe. And then the first month that it looks like I'm not going to have enough money to do all the things I want to do, well, I got to cut back someplace. So where did I cut back? God said, don't even make the vow if you're not committed to it. Don't even make the vow. If you have not purposed in your heart that unless I am just simply utterly unable to fulfill it, I will fulfill the vow that I've made. Now see, that's not just tithing. That's not just the gifts that we bring God. That's any commitment that we make. This is a principle of the Word of God. When we make a commitment, it needs to be a commitment that is stable, that we will not shift back and forth on. And God is saying, if that's not the kind of commitment that we can make, don't make the commitment at all. You know what? We need to learn how to say no sometimes. You know that? We need to learn how to say no sometimes. Sometimes, and this happens to us as Christians, you know, we want to do the right thing. And we look and we see that something needs to be done, or we're asked to do something. Somebody asks us to be someplace. And you know, we love the Lord. We love His work. And so we say, well, I really will try to be there. And guess what? We never purposed in our heart to do that. We look at our schedule and we find out I'm already doing three different things at that same time. How can I do that? And yet because we didn't want to say no, we make a vow and we fail to carry it out. You know what one of the most frustrating things in evangelism is for me? Go to somebody's house, and this happened when I was going door to door. I'd go to somebody's house, they'd say, well, I just don't have time to talk with you right now. I'm getting ready to go to work or whatever it is. Why don't you come back? I say, okay, if you want me to, that's fine. What time would you like for me to come? And they'd say a particular time. All right, I go back at that particular time. Guess what? Either nobody's there, or what has happened to me several times is nobody answers the door, but you can hear that they're inside. Now, you know what I'd really like? Just tell me no. I can take it. I really can. Just say no up front. If it's not something that you feel that you should do, that you're called to do, if it's not something you're willing to commit yourself to doing, say N-O. At this time, I cannot do that. I will not do that. Be definite about it. We have to learn to say no, not to make a vow that we're not committed to keeping. That brings us to the second principle. The first principle is we need to purpose in our heart to be faithful to any commitment that we make. The second principle is we need to be definite about the commitments that we make. Look back at Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. What did he purpose? That he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel knew exactly what his commitment was. He was committed to following the dietary laws that had been given to the Jewish nation. And so he knew exactly what the parameters of his commitment were. It was definite. Daniel was committed and he knew he was committed. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 1, 17 through 19. We need to know when we have made a commitment to which we are being held accountable. We need to know. It needs to be definite. It needs not to be a maybe. It needs not to be something where, well, I'm not sure whether I'm committed or not. 2 Corinthians 1, 17 through 19. The Apostle Paul is saying, therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. But for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Now what's he saying? How many of you have known people that just couldn't seem to give you a definite answer? After you talked to them about whatever you were asking a commitment on, you walked away not knowing whether they said yes or no. Not knowing whether they were committed to doing it or not. Paul says, I'm not that way. I did not plan. He was talking about a trip going to see them.
He said, I did not plan, well, maybe I'll come and maybe I won't. No, he says, I was planning definitely I'm going to come. Circumstances prevented him from coming. That's what he's explaining right now. Circumstances did not allow him to fulfill that commitment. But he wanted them to know, this was not a maybe with me. This was not something that when I was planning, I was saying, well, you know, if everything works out all right, I think maybe I'll go. Uh-uh. He had every intention of going. He did everything in his power to fulfill the commitment that he'd made to them. That's what he wanted them to know. And that's where we need to be. We need to know what commitment we're making. We need to be either yes or no. Not in between. One thing that you'll hear me get on people about is when somebody says, I'll try. I'll try. Because you know what I'll try means? Don't look for me. Don't look for me, not unless you send an ambulance to pick me up and bring me. What does it mean? I don't want to tell you no. I want to keep you thinking that maybe I will, but I have no intention. I have not made any kind of a heart commitment. I have not purposed in my heart to fulfill that commitment. So I don't want to hear you say I'll try. What I want to hear you say is yes or no. And if it has to be no, hallelujah, just let me know. Because God needs for us to be definite about the commitments that we make. Now, here's the third principle that we need to understand if we're going to have faithfulness at work in our lives. What was Daniel's circumstance? He was a captive. He had been yanked away from his home. He was a high up young man. At home. He was among the best of the best. And then the Chaldeans came and they invaded and they took away the best of the best. Brought them back to their land and said, we're going to make you one of us. You're going to serve us. Daniel was no longer his own master. He was serving those who had conquered his people. In other words, Daniel was in a difficult situation. He was in a difficult situation. Understand this. The fact that keeping your commitment is harder now than you thought it would be doesn't change the commitment. In other words, and here's the principle, number three, don't let yourself be moved off your commitment by difficult circumstances. When Daniel first made that commitment to be obedient to God's law, he was at home. He was among his own people. Everybody around him was making the same commitment. It was in that way relatively easy for him to carry out that commitment. Nobody was going to give him a plate of pork. Everybody was trying to keep, or at least giving lip service to keeping God's law. But then he was ripped out of that situation, put into a situation where they said, you will eat what we say, you will drink what we say, you will wear what we say, you no longer are under that bar of Moses, you are now under our law. And if you don't do what we want you to do, we'll deal with you. Daniel was now in a more difficult situation than when he made the commitment. But guess what? The changing circumstances, even the fact that it's harder than you thought it would be, does not change the commitment. But it's hard. I'll have to get up earlier in order to get there on time. Doesn't change the commitment. What do? You make provision to get done what you need to get done, even though the circumstances are more difficult than you thought they would be. Look at Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, 10. Here's the spirit that you need to have if you're going to be a faithful man or woman of God. You will face adverse circumstances that make it difficult to keep the commitments that you've made. But look at Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. In other words, if you let a little difficulty, a little adversity get in the way, you don't have what you thought you had. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, God says, if you've made the commitment, and it's a right commitment, I'll be there to help you fulfill it. But guess what? You have to purpose in your heart, no matter what the difficulty is, I'm going to keep the commitment that I made. That takes us to the next thing, number four. Go over to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Most men will tell you how faithful they are, how committed they are. Most men will tell you how good they are and how much they intend to do the right thing. But the scripture says, who can find somebody who's actually faithful? Who can find somebody who's actually demonstrating it? Who can find somebody who actually follows through on the commitments that they made? Here's the principle for those of us who are committed to being faithful men and women of God. 3 John in verse 5. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Whatever you do, God says, how do you do it? You do it faithfully. What does that mean? Gotta follow through. Gotta follow through. Even on the very smallest of commitments. You know how you learn to be faithful? It's not on the big stuff. I guarantee you, Daniel was faithful in little things long before he had to deal with whether or not he was going to defile himself with the king's meat. He was faithful in the little stuff. Matthew 25:21, I'll just read it to you. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We need to be faithful over the little stuff. The stuff that doesn't even seem like it makes a difference. Doesn't seem like it even matters that much. But guess what? That's what God's looking at. That's what God is looking at. Before he moves us to the next level, where he gives us more responsibility, where he gives us more impact, where he gives us greater power to influence others in the kingdom of God, guess what he's looking at? What are you doing with that little stuff I gave you now? How faithful are you being in the little stuff that you got now? What is it that you have in your life that you've made a commitment to God about, or even made a commitment to your husband and to your wife about, or to your children about, or to your neighbor or to your friend about, and that commitment is somewhere on the back burner of your life because you never purposed in your heart to carry that commitment out? God's saying, that's what I'm looking at. Before I elevate you to the place where you're going to have an impact on somebody else's life, I want to see you be faithful to the little stuff that's going on in your life right now. And if you don't pass the test of faithfulness right now, guess what? You'll never get the opportunity to be faithful in the big stuff. And so that's the bottom line, isn't it? What are we doing right now? We need to examine our lives right now and ask the question, what is there in my life right now where I have said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm committed to. And yet there has been no follow through in my life. You got to carry out your commitments. I'm going to do it doesn't mean anything. Planning to, sometime, I'll try. None of that stuff matters anymore. You've got to purpose in your heart and follow through.